We're halfway through lesson 8. God the Father seeks. We're dealing with true worship in the first century church. First part of the lesson, God the Son seeks. Then now we're going to look at God the Father seeks. We're going to read John chapter 4, verses 19 through 23. John chapter 4. Verses 19 through 23. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And then our memory verse, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning, as our pastors over at the chapel, at the church plant, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in hearts, Lord, in both of our churches. We pray for our pastor as he preaches, fill him with power. Lord, I pray that folks that are showing up for church will have, even just for a minute this morning, taken just a brief second to pray and prepare their heart for your word, for your spirit, for what message you would have for them. Lord, pray for his safety as he then travels over here for the morning service. Lord, pray for your word this morning going forth. We pray that it would meet the needs of hearts and lives. Lord, that these would be our steps. We would find our steps guided before you and guided through your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit would work freely in our lives. Lord, our desire is to worship you and worship you properly and worship you truly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know that God the Son is seeking sinners, but God's word also says that the Father seeketh such to worship him, as we saw in our memory verse, John 4:23, that the Father seeketh such to worship him. When people trust Christ as their Savior, when they have been redeemed and born into God's family, then God the Father is seeking them to worship him. The Father seeks people to worship him. And of course, only the redeemed can worship him. The Bible says that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So worship is only for a believer. Worship is only for a Christian. God receives no glory out of any good deeds that an unsaved man does. I'd like to read to you again a statement I read last week from A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer, a preacher, early 1900s. It was interesting traveling down south, how, because it's a Bible Belt, you can walk into any local grocery store, and there for $2 or $3, you can get these books by these great men of God. And A.W. Tozer, you can pick up the book, The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God. I don't know if you know him. I dare say you've heard of that book. This is a guy we're about to quote. We're talking about worship in the church. A.W. Tozer stated more than 50 years ago pastors and churches in our hectic times are harassed by the temptation to seek size at any cost and to secure by inflation what they cannot gain by legitimate growth. They are greedy for thrills, and since they dare no longer seek them in the theater, they demand to have them brought into our churches. The church fed on excitement is no New Testament church at all. The desire for surface stimulation is a sure mark of a fallen nature, the very thing Christ died to deliver us from. Because we are not truly worshipers, we spend a lot of time in our churches just spinning our wheels, burning the gasoline, making a noise, but not getting anywhere. Oh, brother and sister, God calls us to worship. But in many instances, what we do is not worship. It is simply entertainment, running a poor second to the theaters. You and I cannot be true worshipers of the Father unless we have been saved. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worships God in the Spirit." Sometimes the church will plan services with worldly music and worldly activities in order to attract the unsaved. But the unsaved cannot worship God. Yes, we are to seek after the lost, but we should not become worldly in order to bring the world, because the world cannot worship God. Another statement I'd like to read out of the teacher's guide. If we understand true worship, we know that the church should not be designed to have a feel-good service. The music should not be designed to be feel-good music. The Scottish poet Carlyle said, "Let me make a nation's music, and I care not who makes their laws. I will control the nation." Music has power. In and of itself, it has power. Power to evil and power to good. Music matters in our churches today. There's something very powerful about music and the way it controls people. It works on our emotions. God seeks true worshipers, and they can only be redeemed people. Secondly, we see that God the Spirit seeks. Turn with me to, you're already there, John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We must worship God in truth. How does the Holy Spirit seek? If you and I have trusted Christ as our Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit in the life of the believer seeks to worship the Lord Jesus and exalt Christ. The Bible says we must worship God in spirit and in truth. This is vital to understanding worship. This is not soul worship, this is spirit worship. Many people are attending services where their souls are moved, but their spirits are starved because there's no truth given. Last week, Dan Priority had a brass group up here. They played wonderful music. But what honored the Lord the most was the words that were going through your mind as he was playing that music and those folks were playing that music. These folks aren't up here on this stage for entertainment purposes. They're up here as part of our worship service to the Lord. as Dan played the song, and I don't remember the song, but I remember knowing the words to it and singing the words in my mind as it went along. God is glorified in that. God's not glorified when musicians get up here and perform, and God's people, there's no message for them. This isn't a performance stage. We knew the words to the song. We rehearsed them in our minds as the brass played. I'd like to read some more here. Some churches have elaborate musical presentations, but no truth is communicated. No truthful words are rehearsed in the minds of the hearers. If we want an idea what true worship is, let's look at Revelation chapter 5. As God removes a veil and lets us look, a peek into heaven and see the Lord worshiped. Revelation chapter 5. We'll read verses 9 through 14. Revelation chapter 5, we'll read verses 9 through 14. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This is why we do not allow certain things to be done in our church, that our eyes would never look at mankind, but always at the Lord. I see you that have children. You don't let your kids after church run around this platform. I see parents keep their kids off this. They're teaching kids that is a holy place. That's not a place of clowning around. This isn't a place of joking. This is serious. This is God's house. We saw through the children of Israel what happens when they didn't honor God's house. Many of them were sent off into captivity, killed, carried away. This is why we do not allow certain things to be done in this place. This place which has been sanctified as a place of worship. It's not a carnival place or a clowning around place. It's not a racetrack or an entertainment center. It is not a stage. Our services are not productions. This is a place that we have built to come together to honor and adore the Lord. It is set apart as a place where God's people meet together to exalt Christ. It is a place where we can be true worshipers of a true and living God, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. In our homes, we should be thinking before we come here, We're going to meet with God and God's people. When we arrive at a place where certain things are laid aside. Thoughts have been yielded to Christ. Conversations that we might have had in our business dealings are not to be brought into this place because we come to worship the Lord. As we enter in, we find a seat in this place set aside to worship Him. Not only does our preacher need to be prepared in prayer before he gets here, but each one of us who has a part in the service needs to be prepared through prayer before we get here. Do not get the idea that we are to have some kind of a dead, quiet, lifeless meeting. No, this meeting is very much alive. It is not alive, though, in fleshly entertainment, but it is alive in the spirit of the living God. There are thousands of churches across America, across our land, that never have true worship services because they've been betrayed by preachers who have turned from preaching to being performers. Some people are no longer singers, they are entertainers. May God help us. A generation has sold out. Let us be true worshipers of a living God. What we do in public is to no avail if what we are in private is not mighty with God. What we do in public is to no avail if what we are in private is not mighty with God. Our worship services, it's about God. When we come inside these doors, this is a special place set aside to worship God. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. If you accepted Pastor's challenge and bought a read through the Bible in a year when he did that at the beginning of July, last week you read across this passage. Why didn't I mark that? How far can it go? Isn't it right here? Ruth, how can that book get so far away? You just stand up here someday. You won't be able to find the Gospel of John. Talking about myself, I apologize. 2 Chronicles 29. We'll start reading in verse 25. 2 Chronicles 29. In fact, at the beginning of that chapter, the first verse, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Zechariah came in, the temple lying waste. He came in and got with the priests and the Levites, and he said, listen, we're going to worship God again. We're going to worship God again. And he went in, they repaired things, they got things back in line. They did sacrifices, they cleaned it out, they sanctified the place. And then in verse 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord, with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of God, the king's, and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, the king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing and to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and as Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Worship in the first century church is not like the worship is in today's church. Our worship needs to be as it was in the first century church. In the first century church, the worship was about God. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was His Holy Spirit. That's what it needs to be. You and I need to come to this place with a prepared heart. Not a perfect people, not a sinless people, because we're not that. But we need to come here with a prepared heart. And as we worship God, that we can worship God in truth and holiness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful as we've begun these lessons and on our second series now. Lord, as we look back, we can say that we're not where we used to be. Lord, I would pray that each one in this room could truly say that, that we're not where we once used to be. Lord, that we're further along in our service for you. Not that compared to a holy God that we're getting anywhere close, but compared to where we were, Lord, might we be growing each day. As you said in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Pray for our pastor and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.